The Holy Gospel for Christ the King is recorded in the Gospel of St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Amid scoffing and slander from those who sarcastically call him Messiah and King, Jesus reveals that to be Messiah and King is to give one's life for others. Here he uses his power to welcome a despised sinner to paradise, but puts his own death into God's hands. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to continue a bit with The Lion King. As I said, it's one of my favorite movies. And I didn't realize it until I had seen it about four or five times that it operated on more than one level. I discovered that The Lion King is also all about the church year. It begins in Advent with Mufasa and Sarabi awaiting the birth of Simba. They're anticipating. They're getting ready. And then for them, their Christmas comes. Simba is born. And Simba is held up by Rafiki, the shaman, who anoints his forehead and makes a mark and carries young Simba to the very edge of the precipice and holds him up. And at that very moment, the sky opens. The sun comes down and focuses itself right on Simba. That is Epiphany. And now the young Simba becomes known throughout the Pride Lands. As Epiphany continues to unfold, so people are aware and make witness to this new king to be in their midst. But you know, things can't stay sunny forever. And Lent comes. Lent comes, and Mufasa's younger brother Scar also wants to be king. And something happens in The Lion King at that moment. The bright colors of cinematography are replaced now by muted tones. The film becomes darker and more grim. And as Lent in that movie progresses, we come to Good Friday. And on Good Friday, Simba finds himself in the dark, looking down into a pool of water. And when he looks down into that pool, he sees something. He sees a reflection of his father, Mufasa, who says, "Remember, remember." and something happens. Simba is changed. He undergoes a resurrection. He was giving himself up to die, but through his father, he is resurrected to new life. And Simba, at that point, starts to combat evil with good. And we have this season of Easter. And Scar is defeated. And then the colors in the movie start coming back again. Life comes back. We have that season of Pentecost. And slowly the pride lands go from brown to green, and silence is replaced by noise. And as the movie concludes, Simba and Nala welcome their young son and again hold him up. And Rafiki again anoints. And the circle of life starts again. The key for me in The Lion King was that simple word, remember. Remember did something. And in our gospel text today, we encounter that word with the thief hanging on the cross to the right of Christ. He says a word that no one else says. Here we have before us today on Christ the King, three crosses, Jesus in the center, and a criminal to his left and a criminal to his right. And we know what's going to happen. They are going to be crucified. They are going to be killed. The end of our text today could be death. Except for that one little word. The criminal on the right says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Doesn't that seem odd? That you would utter a word like that? If it was going to end in death, what reason would be there to say, remember? You can't have remembrance without life. It seems that the criminal on the right had a glimpse of the future. A glimpse of the big picture, that yes, this king in the middle is a different kind of king. Death is not going to win. And so that criminal on the right utters probably one of the best confessions of faith. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. I trust in you. I believe in you. That there will be something more. That you are a God of life. And so today, as we gather for Christ the King, we also, as God's children, utter those same words. We gather as broken but beloved people. And you and I say to our God in Christ, remember me. Remember me. And we have a God who has heard, and a God who has risen from the dead, and a God who will gather us in. And always a God that remembers us. Thanks be to God.